Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Tammy. Welcome to The Trouble with Sex. I'm so excited to be here with you today. We have a really special show because it's my show talking about my new book. So I'm really excited to talk to you about Open Monogamy, a guide to co-creating your ideal relationship agreement, which was released with Sounds True in December 2021. And it's really an exciting time for me. I've been going around the virtual country talking about the book on TV and on the radio and in press. And the one thing that really surprises me is how much things have changed over the past 10 years when the new monogamy came out, when I wrote The New Monogamy, Redefining Your Relationship After Infidelity. So the Open Monogamy book was really a book that was on demand from my clients and from my readers who said, can't we open our relationship agreement not as the result of somebody having an affair and there being betrayal and trauma in our relationship, but shouldn't everyone do this? Shouldn't everyone have a conversation about how to have a relationship that's healthy and what level of openness they want, even if it's really traditional? There's a monogamy continuum, and that continuum goes from really traditional, let's not even have fantasies about other people that we share with each other, but really all the way to open and polyamorous. And so I wrote Open Monogamy because I was seeing so many people who are in a monogamous primary central relationship where their relationship or partnership or marriage came first, and yet they wanted some kind of flexible and fluid agreement. What I've seen over the past 30 years that I've been a therapist, or 35 years, is that the idea of monogamy has changed so dramatically. And this is not your grandma's monogamy. Like, we don't think of marriage and commitment the same way that we used to. The biggest difference is that couples define their monogamy in a way that works for them. It's not a one-size-fits-all anymore. Everyone who gets into a relationship makes an agreement, either explicitly or implicitly, and they create the partnership that works for them. And so open monogamy is really defined by one thing: being open, being honest, having the flexibility and the fluidity to define their monogamy as they grow as individuals and also as a couple over time. So I've really seen that people develop their relationship throughout their lifetime. So you might have a certain kind of monogamy when you first get married or commit, and then when your kids are little, if you have children, or maybe a dog, and then when the kids are older, when the kids move out, and you go through second adolescence, and then when the kids come back and move back in, and then when you're a little bit older, maybe you're just too tired and you just want to stay home. So our monogamy goes through different developmental phases just like we do. And open monogamy is really a guide. It really gives you exercises on how to talk about your relationship and how to make it work for you in this new world of flexible, non-traditional relationships. And I've really seen that more and more people don't want what their parents had and their grandparents. They don't want to get divorced. They don't want to cheat. They don't want to trade their partner in for someone else. They really want to have a relationship that works. Ashley Madison, which is a married but dating website that is basically for people to cheat and have affairs, they have 75 million members worldwide. 75 million members. And they recently did a survey where they asked, if you could introduce some kind of consensual non-monogamy, would you do it? And 72% said that responded to the survey said that they would introduce some kind of open monogamy, but they didn't know how to start the conversation with their partner. They didn't know how to ask. And that fascinates me. Like, they're willing to have an affair and potentially burn down the whole house, but they were afraid of sparking a conversation that might create some conflict. And I get it. I totally get it, because we haven't been taught to bring up those conversations that might be conflictual. And we're not taught that an open relationship could really work and that maybe people could be fulfilled and that it wouldn't destroy our primary partnership. So in the book, I interview like 40 people and couples and throuples and talk about like, how did you make it work? Did it work? What doesn't work? How'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Did you shut it down? Why'd you shut it down? What made you decide to have the courage to bring up the conversation in the first place? And today on the show, we're going to interview and you're going to hear from a couple that actually is in an open monogamy relationship. And they're very brave to come on and talk to us today. We are supported by Uber Lube. Did you know that lube doesn't just help with dryness? Eliminating friction enhances pleasure. As a sex therapist, I get asked about lubricants all the time. And one of my all-time favorites for solo and partner play is Uber Lube. Uber Lube is simple, sexy, smooth. It's never sticky, and a little goes a long, long way. It reduces friction while naturally heightening sensation. There's no harmful parabens, no glycerin, and best of all, Uber Lube has no scent or taste. Go to uberlube.com, use the promo code Dr. Tammy, that's DRTAMMY, for 10% off plus free shipping anywhere in the U.S. That's uberlube, uberlube.com, promo code Dr. Tammy, and get yourself some Uber Lube today. I have some questions from listeners, and I have a question from Joe who says, what's the difference between cheating and open monogamy? And well, cheating by its nature means it's lying and hiding, and open is the opposite of that. Open is being able to tell the truth to your partner and looking to define a relationship that works for both of you. So cheating by its nature means that you are hiding and keeping secrets. Open monogamy might mean that some things are private, but there's a difference between privacy and secrecy. So the concept of open monogamy is that you begin a conversation that starts with that as your due north, that honesty is going to be your number one value. Can you expand your relationship to include a level of honesty that maybe might feel threatening, but there is a way to have those conversations that maybe is a little bit safer than we've been taught. And so it makes sense that we need some help to do that. It makes sense that we need some direction to have those conversations, which is what you'll find in the book. There's some questions that will help you begin, and there's some tips to help you avoid some of those problems. So I have a question from Bob, who says, what's the difference between swinging and the way you're talking about it? So along that monogamy continuum that I was talking about, where on one end are thoughts of other people, like maybe is it okay to tell your partner that you're fantasizing about someone else or thinking about someone else? For you, you might think, there's no way I'm going to tell my partner about that. Other people might find that brings a juice or a excitement or an erotic energy to the relationship. And maybe that's as far as you take it. It doesn't mean you actually have to take any of this into action. Maybe it's just better as a fantasy. But some people are excited by moving along on that continuum, and swinging is a term that was actually pretty popular in the 60s and the 70s and comes from the idea that you could have sex with other people beside your partner, either in the same room or separately. And it means the same thing today. So open relationships are an umbrella term that include the idea of swinging, but not everyone's into swinging. Some people are into being polyamorous, which is at the far end of the continuum. Polyamory means, poly means many, and amory means love. And that means having some romantic and emotional connections with other people in your relationship. And some people feel like, you know, I love my partner, but I'm not dead, and I might love other people too. And maybe that can expand our relationship into a broader connection, into a village. Like maybe we can outsource some of our needs to other partners And maybe we can have more than just two people in our relationship. Maybe we can have someone who takes care of the kids and homeschools, and maybe somebody else that can take care of the house, and maybe somebody else can go to work, and maybe someone else can take care of our sexual needs, and maybe someone else can do the laundry, and maybe someone else is really adventurous and likes to go on vacation. Like, why is one person responsible for everything? So the idea for some people, maybe not for you, but for some people, the idea of a village might be really beneficial to your household. And we have this fear of beginning those conversations because I think we have traditionally thought that only people who were able to handle open relationships without jealousy could do them successfully. And so I know we have a question here from Lisa who says, how could we do this if we're really jealous? Like jealousy, Lisa, makes total sense to me as like a normal human emotion. Everyone has jealousy. Everybody feels jealous. If somebody tells you they don't get jealous, I don't really buy that. They may not recognize jealousy in the same way that someone else does. But even people who are in open relationships get jealous. They might just experience it differently. So some people eroticize jealousy, like they get kind of mad and upset, but they are also hot when they feel like it's a hot thing when they think about their partner with someone else. The way that I would suggest might be helpful to deal with jealousy is to think about it more succinctly as some really important information for you and your partner or partners. So I think about resources in a relationship as sort of like a pie, like time, attention, affection, and sex. And those resources are not limited. They're actually pretty unlimited. But it might feel like if your partner's with someone else, then it takes away from the resources in your relationship. And so what do you need that you feel like you're not getting enough of because your partner's with someone else? Like maybe you don't even care that they're having sex with someone else, but they're not paying enough attention to you when they are home. Like maybe they're on their phone and texting this other person and you feel like, how come I don't get enough attention? So really thinking about what am I actually jealous of or what am I actually missing or upset about? Or is there something in me that feels inadequate that really has nothing to do with my partner that I need to work on? Or the other thing I think jealousy is important to look at or why it's important to look at is because I think it can be like a canary in the coal mine. Sometimes it's important to look at your jealousy. Maybe it's your intuition saying, this is not good for us. Like maybe we need to like veto and say, we need to get rid of this other person or this situation because maybe this is not good for our relationship. And so that's one of the tips in the book. Can you agree to have a veto between you? Can you agree that if things are going in the wrong direction, we're going to shut this down? Can you agree that we both have freedom to make the decisions that we need to make? Or are you going to really agree together on what's best for your relationship? And all those things are up for grabs. I would suggest that if you really have questions or difficulty on managing this, then slow everything down and go to therapy. Find a therapist who's really empathetic and gets the idea of open relationships and open monogamy in particular, someone who knows that you're not doing this as a way of saving your marriage, but as a way of expanding your marriage. And if you need some referrals or you need some information, you can contact me through the podcast website at thetroublewithsex.com. We also have another episode of The Trouble with Sex, where we interviewed another author, Susan Wenzel, who talks directly about jealousy in open relationships. So check that one out. We have another question from Luann. What if one person wants to open up the relationship, but the other doesn't? Same if somebody wants to stop and the other doesn't. That's a great question. And I get that question a lot. So I call that the monogamy gap. That there's a gap between what one person wants in their level of monogamy and the other one maybe wants less or different. And that's pretty common. We'd be pretty lucky to think that we all want the exact same thing in life. Like we want the exact same level of or type of sex. We have the same level of energy and the same kind of desire. I think we implicitly assume that we're going to want the same kind and the same type of monogamy. But if we explicitly talk about it, like what about things like pornography? Do you agree about what you should or shouldn't use in your relationship? Have you ever had a conversation about things like masturbation? Are there conversations about things that are secret versus private where you might think that's really cheating and your partner might think, I've been doing that since I was 12. Like, that's not really cheating to me. What if you had a conversation around opening your relationship and your partner thought, I was just thinking maybe we could go and like go to a sex party and walk around and hold hands and stay in a corner and just check it out. And you were thinking, oh, I thought you wanted to have like multiple partners and swing from the rafters and that you were maybe in love with someone already and that's why you were asking. The reality is most of us don't really know what the other person thinks when they say, I want to open up the relationship. We really have to dig in and have those conversations and ask what I call the what if question. So when your partner maybe brings up the conversation, like, I want to open up the relationship. I listened to this great podcast, The Trouble with Sex, and I heard about this book, Open Monogamy, and I'd like to have the conversation. Sit down and have the what if conversation. So what if we did this, and be as specific as you can, and talk about the potential problems and the potential positives. So I'll give you an example. What if your partner said, what if we went to a sex party and we just walked around and held hands and we didn't do anything? We didn't talk to anyone. What would be the potential problems and the potential positive? Well, a problem might be you might really have fun and want to like talk to someone or even take your clothes off. And what are the potential positives? That could be fun for me. And you might say, the potential problem for me is I kind of don't want to see other people having sex. That kind of would freak me out. And a positive could be, but I'm curious. I might be a little bit interested in, as long as I could say, let's get out of here if it felt uncomfortable. And know that all of those kind of conversations can be in your fantasy, and they don't ever have to be something that you take into action. So if somebody wants to stop, interestingly, theoretically, usually there's one partner that wants to start and the other person's more hesitant. And then there's a tendency for the person who's more hesitant because they've thought about it longer and explored their feelings more often. By the time they're into it, they are usually more reticent about stopping. So in other words, one partner say, oh, let's do it. And the other person will be like, oh, I'm not sure. And then the first partner would be like, okay, I'm done. And the other partner's like, I'm not stopping. This is great. So that's a pretty common situation as well. So having some conversations about what does it mean to stop if your partner's not happy. Another question coming in from Minnesota, should a couple in crisis ever open their relationship? I think just by the nature of that question, Minnesota, you've made the statement pretty clear. Opening your relationship is never going to save your relationship. It's never a good idea to continue your relationship if you're having an affair, to open your relationship to justify your infidelity. And it's not a way to save your marriage. I really think that you need a strong foundation, that open monogamy is a way to expand on the communication and the love and the connection that you already feel, that you really don't need an open relationship to save your relationship. You may need therapy first. So if one partner falls in love with someone else, if there's a disappointment in the other partner, there's always risks. And if you're already in a crisis, there are problems in that setup. So when we come back, we're going to hear from our couple, and they're going to talk about their open monogamy relationship, and we're going to answer more questions from our listeners. What do you do if someone falls in love with someone else? Is there a risk? How do you handle that? And how do you shut this whole thing down if it goes bad? We'll be right back. As a sex therapist, I get asked about lubricants a lot. And I'm going to tell you about one of my favorites, UberLube. UberLube is really simple. It's silky, it's smooth, it's never sticky, and a little goes a long, long way. This lube is the best. It reduces friction, but you still get sensation. And what it doesn't have is even better. No harmful parabens, no glycerin, and best of all, no scent, no taste. It lets you feel like there's absolutely nothing between you and your ultimate pleasure. Go to uberlube.com and use the promo code Dr. Tammy, that's DrTammy, for 10% off plus free shipping anywhere in the U.S. That's uberlube, uberlube.com. Welcome back. I am so excited to have our guests today who are so brave to come on and talk about their open monogamy agreement and their relationship. Today, we have Ian and Margot, who are going to share why they got into this kind of relationship and what's working for them. And they're going to give us some advice, like maybe leave us with some ideas about how to make it work for people who are beginning and maybe tell us what not to do. So welcome, Ian and Margot. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Tammy.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, I know you guys are busy, so I really appreciate your time and that you really have made this work. You're like the poster children for open monogamy. You've been in a long-term, loving, committed relationship. You're making your marriage work. And you're really open, honest, and transparent about wanting some kind of open monogamy agreement.
Yeah, we've been in relationship for just about 40 years. It'll be married 35 of them in a couple of months. For the vast majority of it, it was a very traditional, monogamous, picket fence, mortgage, minivan, two kids arrangement. And about between 2011 and 2012, we both lost a parent. And that kind of got us thinking about the finity of life.
It really got us thinking about our own death and what it is we wanted to experience in our lives and what we hadn't experienced and what we had let drop in our lives as we were totally involved raising our kids. And sex was one of those things, and adventure was another thing. And what did we want together, and what did we want to experience with other people?
That's where we began the exploration. And the exploration, when we first began, was still strictly monogamous. We were interested in finding out about, I don't know, kink and different ways of expressing sexuality, but we didn't really think about involving anybody else for the first couple of years, 3 years or so that we began exploring. But as we got to know people and as we met people who were involved in successful open relationships, poly relationships, swinging relationships, defined in all kinds of different ways, it started to crack the facade for us. And it began the conversation. Mm. And that's really where it all begins, is it really begins in conversation. It begins in the two people in the relationship being willing to even broach the subject, because it's a scary subject in this society.
It sure is. Yeah. Who brought up the topic first?
You know what? I think we went to a Tristan Taramino workshop where there were people in lots of different types of relationships presenting. And so we talked about it all the way home. And what we thought we wanted at that time is not at all what we want now.
I'm not sure that it was one of us who started the conversation. I think it was both of us in reaction to this workshop. And by the time we got home, I think it was on the table. And then it was just a matter of, gosh, how do we go about this? And so then we started reading and we started learning about how to set boundaries and rules and agreements and this and that and the other thing. And at first we did. We put up a lot of rules and we put up a lot of what we thought were sort of safety stops. And then as we eventually started meeting people and exploring an open monogamy, some of those rules got revisited, some of them got dropped, agreements got revised. And so I would say it was probably around 2015-16 that we would say we officially, you know, became openly monogamous or monogamously open, or however it is you want to phrase it.
So what would you say like really works for you and what hasn't worked for you?
What works for us is really listening to each other and talking about what's going on with us. What works for us is honesty and trust. And I think we have, what hasn't worked for us is, it's not that it hasn't worked for us. It's that we thought we wanted true poly relationships. And what we've learned is we don't have the bandwidth to have true poly relationships. Mm. So that didn't work for us. And it works for plenty of people. It just didn't work for our relationship. We love your book. It's pretty recent. So would have helped us back then, Tammy.
What we've evolved to is we have a circle of people we call sexy friends. And these are our close friends. These are friends who we go to each other's children's weddings. We spend evenings together having dinner. We call each other when we need help. But they are also friendships that can include a lot of physical intimacy, affection, touch, sex. And so we don't have, I wouldn't call them secondary relationships to our primary, but we have this sort of circle of people we call sexy friends. And that's what works for us.
Boy, that sounds pretty ideal. So any like advice for other people, any warnings, any concerns that people should think about?
I would say the first time somebody tells you that they know the one true way to do it, run. Because there is no one true way to do it. We've discovered the way that works for us, and this way continues to evolve and change, and it's different from the way it is for anybody else. So there is no one true way to make this work. What works is constant communication, constant checking in with each other, constant revising of agreements, and transparency and honesty, and being willing to have the difficult conversations when the challenges arise, because they do arise. Even in the arrangements that we've had, this has not been without its bumps and bruises along the way.
And how do you handle those bumps and bruises and challenges and jealousies and problems?
At one point, we threw ourselves back into therapy and closed up shop and went back to a traditional monogamous relationship for about a year, following a relationship that I had that I handled poorly and created a lot of problems between us. So we had to really pull in, find a mental health professional or two, and work our way through it.
Yeah.
And I think I may have mentioned this to you, but knowing what you want and what you don't want. And we knew some poly folks that were relationship anarchists. And when we got into the first steps of poly, neither of us really put boundaries. Like, we had gone through all of that and it was like, what, anything goes. And that turned out that didn't really work very well for either of us, but particularly me. So really examine yourself, because there's not one true way to do this. We have decided that we are monogamous and we have an open relationship, and neither of us feel like our love is expressed by only sharing our bodies with each other. We share our whole lives. We share all sorts of wonderful things, past and future, but they're just ways that it's fun to shake things up and have adventures. And we create adventures for each other. I don't know, this can get really heavy. I guess that would be one piece of advice. If your listeners, when they're trying to negotiate this, remember that this is supposed to be fun too. So how can you put some of that fun back in with you as you're working to open things up?
I love that piece of advice. I love that piece of advice. Especially, as we're older, our kids are grown, like we're healthy, we're still good looking, and we're going to live a long time. We want to make these years fun. And it seems this has really made you guys closer. You just seem close and connected and in love.
We are in love. Yeah. We are close. We are connected. And I think if we did anything that I would revise is, we sort of lost ourselves raising our kids. We lost ourselves. And I wish I could tell younger parents not to do that. But raising kids is hard.
It's a challenge. Yeah.
Date nights.
Great advice. Great advice. Anything else that you want to leave us with?
I would just say, be skeptical of society's rules. Be willing to question them. Be willing to question whether they work for you. And if they do, great. And if they don't, then write your own rules and test them out and revise as necessary.
I guess I would say sometimes we think we know what we want, and then we experience it and we don't want that. And it's okay to tweak and revise and figure it out and pull back and move forward. And the last thing is, we're all human beings. So grace and forgiveness and loving towards everybody. So
especially those of us who make mistakes.
Yeah. Other partners. So that's it.
I can't tell you how grateful I am for both of you and how much I respect what you're doing and what a great power of example you are for all of us. Regardless of the kind of relationship anyone out there is in, the fact that you're open and honest and really making this work is really impressive. So thank you.
Our pleasure.
All right. You guys take it easy. Have a good day. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So Ian and Margot are such a great example of how to make an open monogamy relationship work. They are connected. They are committed. They are honest and they are working through their stuff, and their due north is their relationship. They keep coming back to the fact that they're in love, that they have a future, that they have a past, and that they are committed to making their relationship the most important thing in their lives and to having fun, to finding joy, to letting their love spill out, and no matter what, coming back to their connection. And they really are a power of example that, like, you can make this work and it doesn't take away from, like, the sanctity of their marriage. And I love this idea that we're moving into a time that we can define our lives in the ways that work for us. As we get older, we don't have to just end up sitting on the couch. I just love that life and our sexuality and our adventure doesn't have to end. And especially at my age and in menopause and my kids are all grown, like, life is not over. And I just adore that. And please, if you're listening now, send me a question. Send me an idea that you would like us to explore here on The Trouble with Sex. For more on how to live an open monogamy agreement, whether it's just being open and honest with your partner or opening your relationship all the way, go to openmonogamy.com to find out more about Open Monogamy, a guide to co-creating your ideal relationship agreement. Thank you, everyone, for joining me on this journey. I'm Dr. Tammy, and this has been another episode of The Trouble with Sex. This episode was brought to you by Uberlube. Have a question about your relationship, your sex life, or sexual wellness? Visit thetroublewithsex.com and click on Ask Dr. Tammy to send me your questions. For sex-positive tips, live events, and updates, join my mailing list and follow us at The Trouble with Sex on Instagram. The Trouble with Sex is produced by Brandy Savitt and Jane Applegate. Our audio is designed by Flavor Lab, New York City. This episode was recorded by Bruce Hirschfield, music by Bruce Hirschfield.